Well, I just want to share with you for a few minutes from God's word about these truths that we're singing and hearing read from scripture tonight about Jesus' birth. And those words that we just sang from O Holy Night, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, really have new meaning for us this year, don't they? There's something special about those words and that Christmas carol that just keep coming back to mind as we think about how we are weary after this year. We need a thrill of hope. And I want to show you for a couple of minutes how Jesus does that for us. On Christmas Eve in 1871, during the Franco-Prussian War, an unarmed French soldier jumped out of the trenches, somehow wasn't shot. He walked onto the battlefield and he started to sing the words to O Holy Night. You may have heard it in French, it's beautiful. He sang all three verses, and then a lone German soldier got out of the other side of the war zone and began to sing a popular German carol called From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. And then the story says that both sides joined in singing together an Austrian carol, and they declared a truce for the next 24 hours on Christmas Day. So O Holy Night began a peace that lasted for 24 hours. What I want you to think about tonight is, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a peace that lasted not just for 24 hours, but for all of eternity? And that's what we have in Jesus. That's the reason that Jesus came. It's the truth that we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus came to bring us personal peace today. I'll talk for just a moment about what I mean by that, peace with God today. But also to know that we have eternity, to know that we have the sure hope of heaven. So I just want us to briefly consider three words that sum up part of Jesus' life, why Jesus' coming brings a thrill of hope to a weary world. The first is cradle, the second is cross, and the third is crown. The first is cradle. When we hear the words of the Christmas story that we've been reading tonight, that we've been singing about tonight, or when we see a nativity scene like what we have out in the front, I just want to ask you, have you paused this year anyway? Have you paused and thought about the fact that Jesus didn't really have a cradle? He had a manger. That's what we just heard read in Luke chapter 2. We visited a 99-year-old lady earlier today and read the Christmas story to her from Luke chapter 2. She's, many of you know her. She's been a longtime member of our church. And she said, when I finished reading, she said, you know, I never get tired of hearing that story. I thought that was pretty significant coming from a 99-year-old lady. And the reason that we never get tired of hearing this story is not simply because it's so beautiful in literature, which it is, not only because it's such a beautiful story, which it is, but also because of what it means. Listen to one of the main reasons we never get tired of this story, because of how God, who's always at work in our lives and could have had his son born in a palace, saw fit that his son was placed in a manger for his cradle that night. Listen to this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." You see, Jesus left the splendor of heaven, and rather than coming to a palace, Jesus was born into our suffering world, into a world that, if you think about it and stop and think about some of the grittiness of that first night as we read these passages, a world that has so much suffering, so much hardness of heart that somebody couldn't even give a pregnant woman a place to have a baby. Jesus was placed in the manger, but he did that, 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, so that us by his poverty might become rich. In other words, we are spiritually rich because Jesus left heaven and entered our suffering world. So that brings us to the cross. So we've thought about the cradle, his manger. Let's think for a minute about the cross. The reason that Christians celebrate Christ's birth is because we believe what the Bible teaches, that it marks the entrance of God into the world in human flesh through a virgin birth. But we know that that's only the start of Jesus' story. We're not saved simply because Jesus was born. We're saved because Jesus then lived a perfect life, and not only lived a perfect life, but then died on the cross as our sacrifice, as our substitute. And on the cross, all of our sin, if we believe in him, was placed on him, and all of his righteousness is given to us. That's the great exchange that happens in the gospel when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Right at the moment the Passover lambs were being sacrificed, Jesus died, John 1:29 tells us, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And why did I say this brings us a thrill of hope? Why does this bring us peace today? Because of what Romans 5:1 tells us. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there in Romans 5, it's just talked about Jesus' work on the cross for us. It's just talked about how he rose from the dead. It says, therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder what God thinks about us. We know he tells us that we're sinners. We read that clear back in Genesis tonight. But we also know that he loves us so much that he sent his son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And we want to remember at Christmas that he came to be our Savior. He died on the cross so that we can have peace with God. And that brings massive peace in our lives. Just imagine if you know that the biggest question facing you, what will happen to you when you die, is taken care of. If you know that you have God's love upon you, then that gives you peace, no matter what 2020 has looked like for you, no matter what 2021 looks like for us. That gives us peace because of Jesus. So I want to ask you, as we move just for a moment to the crown, we've thought about the cradle, the cross, the crown. Before we move to the crown, I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your own Savior? I think with a story like the Christmas story, it's easy to start to become familiar with it and maybe to be almost too comfortable with it. And I just want to ask you, do you know him as your Savior, or is it just a story to you? Before we moved to Vermont, many of you know I was a pastor of family ministries in Washington State, and I worked there with a guy who was part-time named Justin. He was our middle school coordinator, and he was working at a homeless shelter also and training to be a missionary pilot. So my gift, my goodbye gift from Justin before we left Washington State and moved here was for him to bring me on a flight that overlooked the San Juan Islands around the area that we lived in near the Puget Sound in Bellingham, Washington. And it was this little tiny airplane that we got on. And I remember thinking right before we took off, you know, I knew that Justin was a pilot before, but now I believe that he's a pilot. And I really hope that he's a pilot. And I want to ask you that about Jesus. Do you just know that Jesus is a Savior? Or do you believe that he's the Savior? Are you willing to put your life into his hands, your eternity into his hands? Are you willing to say, I believe, and I'm willing to get in on this and not just look at the nativity scene, but really step into that story, so to speak, and believe in him and embrace him as your Savior? And that brings us to the crown. The message of Christmas, this is beautiful. If you think about a thrill of hope, it doesn't just end with an earth that's susceptible to viruses and all the different forms of suffering that we see around us in the world, all the different effects of sin in our lives or that we see in the world. The thrill of hope is not just for now, it's that Jesus will also come back. So this first Advent is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Advent means coming. But we look forward to the day that he will return, that his second advent, his second coming will happen. And we read a passage in Revelation chapter 5. It's a scene in heaven before he comes back. It says, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. See, the promise to us is that Jesus isn't just coming back as a mild baby next time. He's coming back as the ruling king. He's sitting at God's right hand right now, interceding for us before God the Father. And he's reigning there from heaven today so we can trust him, So we have the cradle, the manger, we have the cross, the entrance into heaven because of what Jesus did for us, if we will simply believe in him and receive him as our Savior. And then we have the crown, knowing that he's coming back. He's going to fulfill these promises he's given us. He's going to bring us a new heaven and new earth where there's no more suffering. So are you trusting in him? Earlier today, our kids watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and as I was watching a little bit of it with them in the background, I was reminded of this great scene where Linus says, "I know, Charlie Brown, what Christmas is all about," and he gets up on the stage and he starts reciting Luke chapter 2. Do you remember that? And just a couple of years ago, I learned that if you go back and watch it, maybe tonight or tomorrow for Christmas Day, you'll notice Linus, always with his security blanket, drops his security blanket when he says, "Fear not." And why? Because he's talking about what we're going to hear next, that we're going to have read to us by Dan, that the shepherds were announced, the angels announced to the shepherds, "Fear not." Why? Because Jesus has come. And we're going to read that he brings peace. So you come to him tonight. You might have, you know him already. It might be that you're holding on to security blankets, so to speak. And he just wants to meet you this evening at Christmas time and remind you that you can trust in him. And if you don't know him yet, I just challenge you to let go of whatever you're holding on to and take that leap. Trust in him as your Savior and Lord. If you're a visitor with us today, as you leave today, we have a little gift for you. It's a little booklet called An Even Better Christmas, and those will be passed out at the door, so that we hope that you'll take one. Dan, would you come and do our second to last scripture reading, and then we'll stand for another song.